Now, Carl, you're in a new incarnation in your life now. You're no longer at Prospect. You're now in the midst of establishing a community land trust called Grounded. Tell my listeners what a community land trust is.
Yeah, hello Annie and hello 3CR. Good to be back on the airwaves. So we've set up a new NGO to help the community land trust movement get off the ground here in Australia. We've talked about it for so long on the Renegade Economists. There'd be discussions here and there, and there was a sporadic email group that sort of kept things going and some fantastic research from academics around the country. Primarily Louise Crabtree Hayes, and but there just hasn't been that sustained ability to push government, the banking sector, the planning ministers to really take community land trusts seriously, so we could get our first land trust up and running here in Australia. So I got some seed funding for the first 3 years, and so all very modest as always, but it's been really encouraging. The first 3 months of our operation, starting to build momentum and get sort of our organizational infrastructure set up so that we can provide a much needed housing model alternative to the disaster we see happening every time we pass the sprawl.
Well, it's like everybody just thinks that it shouldn't be so hard for people to be able to get a roof over their heads. But despite this, developers and governments don't seem to be able to come up with any answers.
Yeah, well, that's exactly it, and reading a piece this morning on the Victorian state election and the promises offered, and there's so much blind faith that finally developers, after all this time, will actually deliver affordable housing. And the profit motive speaks volumes over the social interest aspect of it all. And that's one of the real tragedies we have with housing policy, is that not only are there all these demand side prompts with first home buyers grants, and now, the latest rort, Help to Buy, which is basically the same thing, but instead of giving the cash up front, you're given a percentage. A government will cover a percentage of the equity, which is, another way of saying, we'll help you into the market so you can keep the treadmill going. It's almost as if it's been left to our new NGO, and there's a press release going out early next week where I think I just need to say it. The for-profit model has failed us so extensively. And we urgently need to reorientate the way our housing is, housing policy is structured, because we know that it's planned to fail.
And the reason for why it's planned to fail, as you said, the for-profit model means that it's profit making that is the focus, not the supply of affordable housing.
Yeah, that's right, exactly. And last time we talked about this stage releases report, which was almost like the perfect segue for me for leaving Prosper Australia. Was the dream report I'd spent 10 years working on, and it found that developers would they would build at a reasonable rate in the first couple of years. And then they were very happy. Government would never look at how much they would slow supply whenever there was a chance of affordability being delivered. And we've tried to get the ACCC, tried to get the Victorian Auditor General. No luck there. We're still, I might have left Prosper, but I'm still passionate about this issue. So we're still trying to find some government body to do the auditing of what's happening right now. And any bets as interest rates are going up, the supply on offer in the master plan communities will have dropped right off. And they'll be, you know, trying to say it's anyone else's fault but ours. And, yeah, this is why, you know, I kind of see that it's just so literal now, what's known as a property-owning democracy. Property owns democracy. And it's our biggest sore spot, our biggest weakness. And whether that's mining interests, oil interests, or real estate, you know, they're three of the biggest sectors in the country. And government just continues to
feed the beast.
Addressing that issue. Yeah, feed the beast. It's the too hard basket. You know, it's getting bigger and bigger. And we need the statesmen who can call this out. But unfortunately, we're still trying to find those people. And, you know, to see Albanese fall in with the same old philosophies of Help to Buy, sure, they've announced a national accord, and we're going to be battling really hard to make sure some of those funding streams come towards community-led or citizen-led housing. It still seems like, you know, Groundhog Day when it comes to housing.
So tell us about what community land trusts do.
Yeah, yes, let's get into it. So 70% of a general mortgage or house price is the land component. So if we're all born as equals onto this planet, imagine if we didn't have to borrow from the banks and then pay interest on it for the next 30 years for that land component. So in Victoria, we can do this. We can basically separate the land from the building, which under the Torrens title system is a bit tricky in New South Wales and Queensland, but that's something that the Andrews administration has done that helps. So basically, instead of needing a $200,000 deposit here in Victoria, you're going to need about $50,000. Instead of a $1 million home, it'd be, you know, and having to borrow all that, you'd be borrowing $300,000. And the deposit on that is just so much lower. So that deposit hurdle we all face is immediately downsized and much more attainable when it's, you know, that $50,000-$70,000 sort of mark. So, yeah, that's the first step, is getting together a working group of people who can find some capital to buy the land at the right time in the property cycle, set up a trust that's going to manage this into the future perpetually as an affordable housing vehicle. And what happens typically around the world is they limit the potential price of any site there at, let's say, 70% of the market price. And for me, that's 70%, you know, of $1 million is still way too much. So we're going to be working hard to have the sort of economic tools behind that to lower those prices even further. But that's the basics of it, that you borrow only for the house, and your mortgage is that much lower. And in essence, what ends up happening is that you pay a land lease fee as well, and that goes towards your community rather than leaking out to the previous owner and the banks that you've had to borrow from.
So are you saying that that land lease concept is around a maintenance of the property?
Yeah. Yeah, well, it's a bit more than that. It's a bit more than that because, you know, we need to pay something back to the trust that, not quite market rate, but, you know, 70% of that. And when that happens, the trust can pay off its debts in 5 to 7 years, and we can start expanding the base for affordable housing.
So what you're saying is, you know, the group, the trust buys the land or takes on the mortgage for the land. Is that right? And the people who are involved there build a house, have got equity in it through building the house, but they also put in money to the trust so that the land can be paid off. Is that how it works?
Yeah, that's how it works. And, in essence, you're seeing your housing payments become a renewable resource. And we're closing the loop where the payments from the community, in a way, go back to that community. And once you've paid down the debts, or, even a proportion of them after 4 or 5 years, we should be able to go to the banks and say, look, we've proven this business model. We want to borrow a little bit to help set up a social venture that our community wants to run so we can create our own business and our own sense of resilience. So that's one of the powerful mechanisms, is that the housing payments no longer are wasted and kept within the walls of power. They're democratized amongst the community for them to be able to make, the necessary decisions they need to make life better.
So the group of people who are on the plot, the land, and have the houses, etc., becomes a community in a sense. What if there's falling outs, or how would it actually be governed, and who owns what?
Yeah, great question. Well, the typical land trust is one managed with a board that has one third residents, one third neighbours, and then one third civic-minded individuals who might be former councillors or politicians, academics, and the like. And the aim there is to manage this in perpetuity. So we've seen examples around the world where groups have come together and they've paid off their debts in a decade and then become this glorious nudist art colony. And, fantastic for them, but how can we use that precious leg up they've got to help other people? So, by having people who don't live on the site part of the management board, it helps keep that objective, that long-term objective going. But when you think about our name, Grounded, we're not just looking to ground land prices to the reality of our wages. I'm going to take a deep breath here and try and not sound like a total tosser, but and I shouldn't even say that. But one of the things that happens, particularly on the male side, the alpha males come out in these intentional communities and really, throw their weight around sometimes. And it's not as democratic or well hinged as it should be. So, we want to really try and encourage a sense of personal development amongst community members so that they're actually working. We all need to do it to improve ourselves. Through various sort of self-work that we need to do. So, since moving up here to central Victoria around Malmesbury, I've become involved in a good old men's group up here. And my God, it's been great to have a place to sort of share those deeper emotions and work through some of your own crap, and brings a sense of humbleness to your approach to life. And I'm really hoping we can find a way to communicate that doesn't sound too hippie and doesn't sound too perfect, because God, we've all got our stuff to work through, particularly myself. But often what happens in the intentional community world is people come together with a passion. They want to get their houses built and they don't get the rules set up. So people then start bickering over cats and dogs versus wildlife corridors. They don't have an exit plan. They haven't got the financial, the economic modeling behind it. So then people are struggling to actually leave. And yeah, there's all sorts of horror stories in those spaces. So Ground is all about reducing those risks and helping working groups who are coming together to sort of get all those ducks in order so that they can come to it in a well-rounded approach across the legal, the economic, the environmental, the social, and of course the planning front, so that we've got a chance of making, you know, the most of living together and you know, living up to the ideals of what society could be.
So on Tuesday, there's going to be a launch. You feel that you've established it enough to launch it to the public?
Yes, yes. Had to set a deadline. You know, we've got our logo done. We've got our website done. We've had lots of amazing meetings. We've got some great news we want to share with people. And, you know, we want to help give people a sense of hope that, you know, things can get better. And, you know, when you think about how bad our economic system is, Chomsky's great statement of, you know, the best revolution is the revolution in your own backyard. Well, that's what we want to help happen with the Community Land Trust movement. So, yeah, we're meeting at the Queen Victoria Women's Centre on La Trobe Street in the city from 6 p.m. on Tuesday night. And we've got Sonia Arakel from Think Forward, a fantastic NGO, talking about intergenerational equity. And she's got some concerns with what's happening budget-wise. You might have seen her on Q&A recently. So she's a really good presenter. And then we've got Bob Knowles from the Apollo Bay Affordable Housing Task Force. He's going to be talking about the, you know, quite literal sea change that's gone through their community, the role of Airbnb. You know, it seems like every week he's got a new MP visiting down that way, trying to help them move forward. So he's got some fantastic stories on potentials going forward and, of course, a few frustrations. And then, I'll be doing the sort of grounded spiel on what we're up to and some of the good news stories that have occurred.
Well, I'll be there. I'm hoping other people will turn up as well, Carl.
Yeah, I'd love to see some 3CR faithful there. It's always good to be back on the airwaves. And, let's hope we can get some momentum moving forward so that more people recognise that if we do the hard yards and understand some of these functions, we can get ethical superannuation, ethical investment on our side, because the development movement has really let us down, and it's time we stood up and made things happen for ourselves.